You know, Jonah, the story of Jonah is one of those stories that even if you weren't raised in the church, you know a little bit about the story of Jonah. And it's one that the historians have a tough time with because what are the odds of it actually happening? And as we launch into this series called Going Jonah, I have to just start up front by saying, I believe this actually happened. Now, before you look at me like I have three different eyeballs on the side of my head, I just want to explain. Part of the reason why I believe this is not just an allegorical story, but historical, is because in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus seemed to believe it was an actual and historical story. And whenever there's a question of faith and life, I'm just going to go with the guy who died and came back from the dead, what he believes. So I'm just going to go with what Jesus believed. Now, we don't insist that we all agree on, you know, how to interpret. Is it allegory? Is it historical? I happen to think it's both and. But what I hope you know and what I hope you come to appreciate over the next several weeks is just how rich and relevant this story is for our lives. Because the story of Jonah is the story of all of us. And as strange as the story of Jonah is, it's about you, it's about me, you know, because Jonah and you and Jonah and me, we all have the same thing in common. Everybody in this room at some point in their lives has run from God. And many people in this room have discovered that you can run from God, but you can't outrun God. And I know some of you are here going, yeah, yeah, that's really nice, Pastor, and everything, but I'm not so sure. And I've kind of stiff-armed God over the course of my life and kind of have God going in the rearview mirror, and everything's going okay for me. So when I talk about running from God, I'm not talking about getting up and physically running from God like Jonah. I'm talking about something different, and oftentimes running from God for many of us goes something like this. Well, I was raised in the Christian household. I attended church all my life, and then I got to high school, or then I got to college, and then I was like, you know, I'm out of here. God, you can stay at home. You can stay with my parents. You can stay at church. I'm just out of here because I got things to do. I got people to meet. I got places to go. And whether it was an intentional decision or not, you just decided to put God in the rearview mirror, and often we've just simply accidentally been running from God ever since. Every once in a while, we you know, God might ding our conscience, or the topic of God might come up, or we might bring the kids and to church because we think that's important or not. But again, then we get so busy, and we're often running, and we just put God in the rearview mirror. We're running from God. Or maybe that's not your story. Maybe it's not so dramatic. Maybe you're somebody who really wants to believe, and you're trying to live a life of faith, except there's a portion of your life that you're keeping for your own. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's a part of life where you're saying, God, look, I get it, and I agree, and you're great and everything, but I'm going to take it from here. Yeah, because this is a part of my life that I want to direct myself. And maybe for you it could be a relationship. Maybe there's a stress in your marriage, and you've been entertaining ideas of separating or divorcing, and you know that's not what God wants, but you're saying, God, I know more than you. Maybe it's some area of finance or some kind of habit, and you're just trying to protect it because, God, look, I just want this thing, and you're great, God. And the problem with that is we all, to some degree, me included, we become a bit of hypocrites because we say to God, God, I love you, and I pray for my children, and I pray for the future and all of that, but not in this particular area. And so we put God in the rearview mirror. Every one of us in this room at some point in time has run from God. Now, we all run for the same reasons. We run because if we don't run, we're afraid we're going to miss something good. Right? So we run, but we believe we're going to run towards something good. Well, one reason why we run is we run because we don't trust God completely with everything in our lives. I mean, we agree with everything, perhaps, and think that it's good, but we don't completely go all in with our trust of where God is leading our lives. The other reason why we run is because maybe some of us have had a negative experience in church, and we confuse church and God, and we put them together, and when we say we're not ever going to go back to church, we kind of put God into the same equation, and so we just turn our back and to both God and church at the same time. That's very common. But if I could kind of rush to the end for a second, today, if you're a runner, if you're running from God, you have to look around you, the people in front of you, behind you, next to you. We've all been runners at some point in time, but what we've discovered is while you can run from God, you can't outrun God. And as we're going to find out in this series, that's a good thing, not a bad thing. And so today I want to talk about Jonah, and I want to highlight several things that runners do. And the reason why I want to focus on this is because I hope throughout this series that you'll have some clarity about how God is operating in your life. That's my hope for us. That's my prayer for us today. And because your experience is, while your story is unique, we all share some of these traits, some of these stages of life. And so we're going to be talking about this is just what happens as we run. So I'm going to go back to the story. Let's go back to the story. Verse 1, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, go at once to Nineveh, the great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Now, this is incredible about God, and oftentimes we look past this, that Nineveh was a wicked city, and yet God seemed to be patient with Nineveh. I mean, he put up with Nineveh, and instead of just turning his back on Nineveh, he says, okay, Nineveh, I'm going to give you one more opportunity before I have to judge the wickedness, and so I'm going to send someone in my name. I'm going to send Jonah. Verse 3, but Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, let me try to explain to you where Tarshish is. I think we have a map here. Tarshish is like southern Spain. You see where that is? So Nineveh, if you can see that, Nineveh was 550 miles east of where Jonah was, and Tarshish was 2,500 miles the opposite direction, right? So Jonah, he didn't stop and say, no, God, or, you know, run to a bush somewhere and hide under a bush. He went 2,500 miles in the opposite direction. It's like one big fat no to God. We go on. So he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid his fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Now, this is where we run into the very first thing that everybody who runs from God does. Do you know what people do when they run from God inevitably? They run to the strangest places. They run to the most dangerous places. They run to self-destructive places. They run to places that if they were to look at themselves run from the outside, they would say what we would say to Jonah. Jonah, why are you running to a boat of all places, Jonah? Because in this day and age, to get on a boat and head straight out to sea was the most dangerous thing you could do. Jonah, what are you thinking? If you're going to run from God, stay on the land, right? If you're going to run from God, go someplace safe. But instead, he goes someplace very dangerous. You know what my experience is as a runner from God? Those times in my life that I've run and what I've seen in other people who run. When we decide to turn our back on God, we run to the dumbest places, the dangerous places, the places that are unsafe. And what we would say to Jonah, why a boat? I think our Heavenly Father and maybe some of the people who love us the most would say, you did what? You're dating whom? Right? You're investing how much? You're quitting? Right? You're starting a business? I think that our Heavenly Father and some of them, the people who we love the most, would say this: you're going to the strangest of places, and when you think about it, your biggest regret relationally as you look back and go, how could I have been so blind? Simple is because when we run from God, we run to the most strange, most dangerous places, and the decisions that we make in those places are the decisions that come back and haunt us. And when they come back to haunt us, in other words, our life begins to unravel as a result. Here's the other thing. When you turn your back on God, you turn your back on the source of unconditional love and acceptance. In other words, other than God and your mama, you're not going to find anybody else who's going to provide unconditional love. And I don't care if you're kind of a tough guy or not. Every man and every woman and everybody ever created longs for and desires to be accepted unconditionally. And the problem is, when we turn from God, we turn from the primary source of that kind of love. And when we do that, we set up this dynamic, we create this dynamic where we're trying to fill that love tank out there in the world. The problem is, nobody can do it for you. There's no way that anybody can do that for you. So you spend this inordinate amount of time and money and relationships trying to squeeze out of people and squeeze out of your dreams and squeeze out of business and squeeze out of your lifestyle something that just isn't there to give. And in a way, it's not your fault. That's just kind of what happens when we set up this dynamic. When you walk away from unconditional love. You know why life unravels for people who run from God? Maybe not right away, maybe not in the next year, maybe 5 years or 10 years down the road. It's because when we put God in the rearview mirror, we turn our back on purpose, on meaning. Right? When you think about it, do you know everything that's created is created for a purpose? And do you know the only one who knows the purpose of the things that are created is the Creator? Do you know that you have a purpose? And do you know that if you turn and run from God, you will never discover your God-given purpose if you cut the person who provides that purpose for you off? What a shame it is to blow through your 20s thinking, man, when I get to my 30s, it's all going to fall into place. And what a shame it is to get into your 30s and suddenly things are starting to speed up and you're like, that's okay. Because once I get into my 40s, man, it's all going to make much more sense. And you get to your 40s and you go on and on and on, and suddenly you get to the place where you come face to face with purposelessness. Because when you look at where you've been, and you look at where you're going and the gap between where you are and where you're going, and you suddenly realize it's going to be filled with the exact same thing as to where you've been. And it all moves so quick. And you can run and you can create and you can produce and you can love. It's just that it's only in the created the creator-created relationship that we discover the sense of meaning and purpose that we were created for. Everybody who runs, including me, we go to the wrong places. And things begin to unravel. You know what else happens to people who run? Runners, when their life begins to unwind and unravel, hurt the people who are running closest to them. Back in Scripture, Jonah gets onto the boat and the sailors end up having to deal with collateral damage. So they're tossing their cargo. And their cargo is symbolic. Well, their cargo is their livelihood. Why did they have to do that? Simply because they invited somebody on their boat who was running from God. And you may be someone who might be trying to stay close with someone who's a runner. Be careful, because you can get hurt. And if nothing else, think about the next generation who might be raised by a mom and dad who are both running. It's why we hurt people, and we don't even mean to do it. But people who run injure the people who run too close to them. Aren't you glad you came to church today? This is an exciting message, isn't it? But here's the news. Here's the great news. God, out of his mercy and his grace, when we take off, God doesn't sit back on his hands and goes, oh, there they go. Yeah, that's okay. Just let them go. I don't care about them. We've got some other people. No, God doesn't do that. In God, instead, we see in Jonah, in the story of Jonah, an illustration of what Jesus taught with the prodigal son. In the story of Jonah, we see illustrated God's relationship to Israel in the Old Testament. In the story of Jonah, we see the message of the New Testament of grace and mercy and forgiveness. Because what we discover in the story of Jonah that is part of our story as well is that God in his grace and mercy will involve himself in the unraveling. God in his grace and mercy will involve himself in the pain, and where the consequences show up, God is going to involve himself in the consequences of our decisions when things start to unravel. Not in order to get you back, but in order to win you back home. And the reason why God will get so involved and why God is so intentional about bringing you back is because when Jesus died on the cross, when God decided to lay the life of his son down, he paid for you. He's already paid for you. He's already extended this expression of grace and mercy for you. So no matter where you run, God is going to continue to go to the ends of the earth to pursue you because he's already invested this mercy and this grace and this power in order for you to reach out to you and include you in his purpose and include you in his unconditional love. So he's not going to give up on you. He's not going to pursue you in order to pay you back or in order to punish you. He's pursuing you to bring you back home because he wants to win you back into his grace and into his mercy and into his life of purpose and meaning. You know, I know the sick feeling of laying your head down at night going, Did I just spend a whole season of my life and I'm not going to have anything to show for it? If you're in that place, you know, the prayer for us today and what I've been praying for all this week for us today is that some runners will come home. I want you to think about coming home. And as we finish our service today, here's what I want you to do. That when you come forward for Holy Communion, don't just hold your hand out and then just eat. I want you to hold your trust out to God. I want you to hold your pain out to God. I want you to hold your suffering out to God. I want you to hold all of you out to God and say, God, I'm going to stop running. But I'm nervous and I have all these questions, but I'm going to stop running. I'm going to come home. And when you do that, you're going to find that God loves to answer that prayer every time. So if you're a runner, if you got a little part of your life you're running, I pray for your courage, my courage, to come home. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, it's one thing to talk about it up here. It's another thing to actually live it because we're so fearful of some of the consequences of some of the decisions we've made, and it makes us hesitate to really trust that you're big enough for some of the things that might happen. And so, God, I ask for all of us here today that we might know your love and grace in such a way that provides for us the confidence that no matter what happens, Lord, we're going to be safe and secure with you. We lift this up in your name. Amen.